Let me check the book for obstacles. History obstacles. Burning wheel, people. Exciting.
Yep. The Sunday Skypers. Burning beards.
You know what else is fascinating? Dwarves dying in fire. Because I'm just going to play this game on my own.
Woo! Session 45. Done!
The very short season of the Dwarves and the last season.
Yep. The throne room floods with fire. Slate is the only one left. You want to play on your own? There are tons of spiders. No?
To that I would say, F you.
Let's just quickly review the beliefs that we wrote last week.
Mine are simple. Make sure the prince escapes. Make sure that my fellow brewers and apprentices are safe.
I think that'll do for now. Of course, your brewers and apprentices aren't in this room at present, so you'll have to get out first.
Yeah, get out.
Well, that's fine. You have a slightly more in the future belief, as well as the immediate prince out of here, Flint. So protecting the other dwarves from the dragon, that should be fairly straightforward. Finding Slate and then convincing, okay, that's the future. Convincing the company that flooding the lower depths is a good idea. And Profandral, of course, get the dwarves to safety and finding a way to get rid of the dragon, that's the future thing. So right now, everyone is like, dwarves, safety! Ah!
Except for me, because I don't know that's happening.
Right. You are going to convince Thawd that you're not enemies. That is the idea. Sergeant Thawd with his fork beard. As you may recall, the doors were flung open by the blast of this fire thing, and dwarves were flying right and left. Ulfkell was hesitating, or possibly one more action.
And that's when I spend my persona point and roar, leaps in the side and knocks me off to the side of the room.
Right.
Do I get to describe what happened to him?
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
You're going to spend your point, and you're going to avoid taking a mortal wound from a magical dragon god's fire. And of course, the payment here, the worst situation is you're going to find yourself in a precarious position, and you're going to lose Roar. Roar is going to die in your stead. So we're clear about that. That's the cost. I think the first thing we see is, like, if this were the show, is we see the gates of the throne room, right, from the inside, with all of the dwarves bracing up against it, right? And it's sort of in this vague slow motion type of shot. And we see this gap in the middle when the gates have it quite shut that just lights up like this is just orange sliver that just begins to shine through in the middle, and then whoosh, the gates are pushed open and dwarves go flying every which way. Fenna goes tumbling somewhere, Flint goes tumbling a different way. And then, you know, we switch and we see Ulfkell standing there with our hands out, right? And his face, his wide face is lit up in this bright orange, almost reddish, lurid glow, right? And that's where slowly we hear the fire, right? Sound of the flames coming in like that. And then just smack. Roar's elbow is in Ulfkell's chest, and you go flying back. Not flying, but, well, flying. He is strong. We hear him sort of almost in a hollow, distant way, just roaring something like, "Fly, fool!
Fry?
Fly, you fool!" Although we shall fry soon, too. And you stumble back, and you land on one of these portions where there was a crack previously, and the dwarves have begun to sort of fix it in a makeshift way. There's some masonry and wood supports, and you step right on them, and they give, and you slide down this crevice, and part of the side of the crevice too, it gives way, so there's an even bigger hole now. You slide down, and we just see Roar turn, and then this sea of fire just engulfs him. He just vanishes.
I imagine that any metal on him is now plating the floor.
It's almost like there's this big, huge quake at the same time in the hall, and chunks begin to fall from the ceiling. One of them falls down, and it looks like it's about to, fall down right on top of you, Ulfkell. Like you've slid down this crevice. It's deep enough that you have to climb out of it.
Oh, bugger.
And this big, huge chunk of ceiling masonry just falls down and plugs the hole. Ear-splitting sound, a debris of smaller like marble splinters and stuff start raining down over your head. If you have your helmet on, it starts, you know, ting, 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 top of your helmet. Why don't you make me a speed test, all the three, to make sure that you are not stuck in this crevice.
Okay.
So you're falling down and it narrows into the below, which is also orange and lurid.
So, okay, I got B4 in it. All right. I got B3.
Spend up to 3 persona before you roll. If you fail.
I'm looking at my skills.
Unkill is going to be stuck. He's going to fall down and he's going to like jam his foot into the tighter crevice and he's going to be stuck there.
And I can't fork in any skills.
No forking stats, no.
All right. Yeah, well, I got 5 left. So, hey, as long as I got at least 1 left, I'll spend those 3. So it gives me 7 dice, 7d6. Oh, I got 3. I matched
it. Excellent. You managed to avoid, you know, like maybe it's your like the usual
I've been in holes like this before.
You've fallen down into holes before.
Spider?
I forget. Did you fall or did I fell in that hole? I forget. Anyway, so you managed to brace yourself. Brace yourself to the inside of this crevice before you go down so deep that you can't get out. And then boom, the big, huge chunk of ceiling seals you in. And it gets like the light from above vanishes. And all we have is this vague, lurid glow from below. And, you know, it's hot. It's cramped. It's tough to breathe. For the other dwarves, like you've been blown clear, right, of the doors. And you see this great big sea of flame just lick into the room, almost like poor similes.
It's a tongue of flame.
Floods into the room. You see Roar giving Ulfkill a push. Ulfkill stumbles back, falls down one of these crevices. Things start to shake. Roar is completely engulfed. He just vanishes in this flood of fire. And the fire just keeps shooting up along this marble, you know, big, huge stairwell up almost all the way to the throne before it dissipates. And in its void, in its emptiness, is just this big blackened streak with wisps of smoke just rising here and there from the floor. And there's just this charred chunk where Roar stood. Things begin to fall from the ceiling like big, huge stones. It's a mess.
Yeah, this sounds like a good time to grab the two nearest dwarves at hand and pull them into an alcove before they get brained by falling rocks.
Sure, that's for free. Yeah, you grab some axe bearers, get them out of the way. There are some chunks. The whole room shakes. Outside, further, like obviously in down the big, huge steps up to the throne room, first you feel it, right? You feel this heavy rumble in the ground as if something heavy landed. And then you hear it, this boom. And then you hear 2 more, boom, boom, as if there are like front legs, right? Front feet, boom. After the big chunks fall down, all you hear are like screams from panicked dwarves. Fena is getting up on the other side of the hall. What are you guys doing?
I think I go this way and start heading them towards the back door.
All right. Flint, do you follow or what?
Well, the first question is he on Fena's side or my side?
You are both on your side, on one side. Fena and Gurum are on the other side. There's a mixed bag of axe bearers from your side and Fena's, the 10 that went into the hall with you, you know, on either side.
I'll shout at them, "Hold your sorry asses! The prince has lived here before. He knows the ways."
Yeah, I thought this way, follow me covered that.
You're supporting him.
That's basically what I'm doing is if you have to command them, I'm throwing my dice your way.
So here's the question there, Flint. You have a belief about getting dwarves to safety, right? Do you believe Ulfkill to be lost?
A little buried alive, yeah.
You know, I have one instinct. I always keep my weapon handy. I pull out my hammer and I start whacking that plug of marble. I mean, oh, I'm either going to break it or they're going to hear me.
Yes, yeah, so
you're going to make
chunk,
it worse.
Chunk, chunk, over the slow rhythmic chunk, chunk, as whatever is outside, the dragon or whatever is slowly coming up the way.
And yelling at my lungs.
I guess that means I'll be last. We'll have the Vandril leading the way. We'll have the axe bearers following him. And I want to see if that thing is like literally outside coming in.
All right. So Fenna has dusted herself off. She's rushed over to the open door. She's just staring wide-eyed down at the whatever it is. So if you rush up, you see the same thing she does.
I'd be a little bit more in cover.
Sure. No worries. So what you see is this big, huge carpet of charred corpses, human corpses, just completely covering the thoroughfare that leads off to the gates into this district. And on the steps up, you see these 30 twisted shapes of Fenna's axe bearers that you said couldn't come into the hall. They're just charred, and they're bits of their cloaks that are on fire. There's like probably like this poor sod who's still alive closest to the hall, who's just lying on his back shaking. And, you know, he's just completely burnt. And you see this big, huge magmic dragon shape, massive dragon, big, huge burning embers for eyes. It's almost like the Balrog, right, in Fellowship of the Ring. Like there's this like fire in its mouth continuously. But you see between its scales, it's begun to reconstitute itself more as a dragon and less as a piece made of molten iron or something. And the cracks are beginning to close between the scales, and the scales are beginning to take on a more organic look, like a more like sleek, black, glossy character.
It's cooling down?
Yeah, it's like the fire was the thing that it was forged from, right? It's as if it was made by mind forges.
Yeah, it's a kind of a dwarfy perspective.
So
yeah,
well, we're forged from stone and earth. It's forged from fire and hate or something.
So Fenna swears, like, because she sees all her people completely charred.
Not my fault.
She looks to you briefly, and then she looks up to Fandral, and Fandral is what? Starting to make sure everyone is moving?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you give me a command there, Fandral, like ob-2, just to get everyone moving, like listening to you, because this is a bit of a like crazy situation.
And some of them may still have be in fail mode from the steel test.
Yeah. Somebody may have gotten a bit of chunk, masonry chunk on their helmeted head and nerd groggy, or, you know, some of them may be in shock.
All right.
Ah, cool. No worries. So your clear dwarf voice rings out and fills the hall, and you know, people jump to. As they rush after Fandral, they're filing around this big chunk that's in the middle of the stairwell, right? Oh, not stairwell. You can hear these low metallic chunks, chunk, chunk, as Ulfkill is clearly hammering on this thing from below. Oh, and in front of it, of course, you see, you know, Flint, if you rush toward it, you can see just Roar's twisted shape. His whatever cloth he had on is still sort of burning a little. His face is just completely blackened, and like his eyeballs are emptying out onto the floor, melting. It's real.
Thanks. Thank you for that for that detail.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Fluid, of course, is like boiling on the hot floor.
You did not choose wisely.
Well, we'll see in the future if you name a beer after him or what. I do not want to get the dragon's attention, obviously.
It's coming up. It's coming up towards you.
The rock that fell, that plugged up the fissure that Ulfkell fell into, is enough of that?
You need help to move it.
Well, is enough of that sticking up above floor level that one could hide behind it for a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Great. I have a plan.
It's wedged in, but it's not iceberg wedged in. It's gravity. Really plugging. Yeah.
What Flint does is he scrambles to get some cover behind the rock so he can also get closer to Ufkel.
Will you stop it? You are going to draw the attention of the dragon, and it will eat you whole.
There's something down here glowing down here. Get me out of here. Because that lurid light's still below me, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's something down here with me.
Probably some sort of lava flow way, way down. The bad thing is the fumes are starting to rise up and get trapped with you up here under the rock. So you're slowly suffocating.
Crack, crack, crack. I'm hitting his heart. I was looking to see if I actually have mining skill. I do have carving, but I think that's wood.
You don't have time to carve yourself out.
I do have hammer.
The chunk isn't so perfect that like there's no gap, so you can probably hear each other, right? Yeah. You can shout at each other, no problem. But yeah, it's going to take more than Ofkill alone and Lint alone, unless you like spend all your Arta and some deeds to shift this thing.
That's cheating, because if I spend them all, that just means what?
I mean, you could ask for help, I guess.
That's just others. Two. You know, I have no deeds either.
So if I attempt this without an army, is that a challenging power roll?
Yeah, I'm inclined to say it's like an ob 8 power test.
Well, I'll be down below. I'll get myself wedged up there and try to push it from underneath.
Oh, yeah, you can help, yeah.
Well, maybe somewhere between adrenaline and fate we can move this rock.
So you're not going to ask for help. You're going to do it yourself.
I am of the mindset I am not going to risk the rest of the people that are escaping, but I will help Ulfkel.
All right.
Well, wait,
remember.
Hey, there's Fenna. She's still down there. Yell at her to come up here to help. She's still in danger, and she's down there.
Fenna is her own creature, and she's one of the few that did not hesitate. So she's of her own mind to do what she wants. And if she wishes to help, I would appreciate it.
Well, do you call to her? She's moving past.
She
has completely like written off Ulfkel, clearly.
She's
moving
for her
after
help.
Fandral and the rest.
I'll motion for the help, but if she chooses to leave him, that's her call. Puppy dog eyes?
Oddly likable.
Are you still oddly likable?
Of course I am oddly likable.
Let's see, what kind of skills do you have? What could you do?
Without attracting the attention of a dragon. That really is my number one priority.
Yeah, it's clear that the dragon knows you're up here. It's coming for you, slowly.
Well, you're conspicuous.
Yeah, that's not going to help in his intent.
No, but to get her to notice you, though.
Yeah, but to motivate her to stay and shift the rock when she could get away is a bit more of a trick.
Command. Yeah, either just order to do it.
You don't have command over her, really. I could see some kind of persuasion or you have begun to open persuasion, so that could be something to do, like if you want to.
Yeah, we'll just throw out a pleading whisper. It says, like, help your fellow dwarf while there's still a chance.
With the rumbling and the you can hear behind you just this rhythmic, massive breathing that it has an edge of crackling fire and like rocks grinding together. And every breath is like makes your eardrum vibrate, eardrums vibrate. So you're going to have to be like, you can't whisper, right? There's no way, but you can maybe snarl or something.
Great. We'll snarl with maybe just a little tint of intimidation. I said, no, that's not really. She's not intimidatable.
Well, I don't know. Do you want to take the chance?
No. she could beat me up.
You're going.
You know, stranger luck has happened. We'll just go with base persuasion.
If you're using persuasion, it's beginner's luck. It's your beginner's luck will, and your will is 5. Beginner's luck means we double the obstacle, which is really bad. I'm going to have to open up Venus. I should have done this before. Here we go.
If it's about exploding sixes, I've got 25 fate. I can do this.
You're going to have to get a 6 first, though. That is the trick.
That's why I have 25 fate.
And going against her will.
It's probably just a two.
Ooh. I don't think gray shade matters, but your base obstacle is 12 because it's double.
And I can do that on four dice, right?
And so I'm down there, and I hear he's
absolutely. You can help persuade with in some way.
Your grace, help me get out of here, please. Help me get out of here. I don't want to die here all alone.
Oh, beautiful!
I'm using my coarse persuasion for this one.
So I think she's pissed at you, right? Because you kind of doomed her axe bearers to burning death.
Not well, you, we'll just not jump up the obstacle of 15 and just call it spare.
But at the same time, like you're obviously doing your best to get everyone out, including this poor schmuck who's pinned under a stone. So, like, I'm inclined to lower the basic obstacle to 5, so that's ob 10. It's not 12, right? It's still terrible. So what's Oathkill helping with? You're helping with
coarse persuasion.
What's your exponent?
It's a B3.
Okay, so one die. If you succeed, right? If against all odds you succeed, right? She's going to do her best. She's going to take time away from rushing away or doing something else and help you. If you don't...
I'm going to think less of her.
I think if you don't, she's going to have a different idea. That's going to put her in danger, therefore your belief in danger, right? Because...
Okay, we'll see how this goes.
No sixes.
I got a one.
Was 5 all you had? Did you didn't spend any persona or anything?
I only have one.
All right, you only have one. Sorry.
I need to save that for the rock. So, hardly fail, but that's okay. You know, I didn't expect to succeed. If it's evil, my actual goal was to put her on the spot. So I'm going to see if I can reap or sow here.
Just so we're getting back into the swing of things, of advancement and all that stuff, the basic obstacle before doubling was 6, and I lowered it to 5. So the ob is 5, and you rolled how many dice before spending
four
Arta?
Plus
you didn't spend any Arta, right?
Right, so 4 plus a helper from...
So that is a difficult test, so you can record a difficult will test. All right, so... You plead with her. Oathkill pleads with her, and you can see her like there's a split second moment. Like all this happens very fast because everyone is shuffling, getting out of the way. The dragon's coming slowly. Nobody can ignore it. Really, she looks at their stone, and she's just like, "And you?" And she says, "No, the doors." And she rushes off to the doors to close them again. What do you do?
Well, I'm at the rock.
Yep.
And I have to make the attempt. So I'm going
she
to try.
She clearly doesn't believe it can be done in a shorter time as, you know, before the dragon's here. So close the door time.
What'd she say? What'd she say? What'd she say, Flynn?
She said push.
Right. I crab up and get in position and sort of brace myself against the bottom of the rock and I start.
So here's the thing. It seems that Flint clearly values Oathkill more than the other dwarves in this moment. If you want to be sure to earn a persona point, write down save Oathkill. You know, get Oathkill out of the hole as a tail end statement to your belief. Refine it that way. That way, at the end of the session, I can definitely say yes, you got him out, or no, you didn't.
We can do that.
Excellent. Just so you also get into the swing of revising your beliefs as we go. As things become more important or less important.
Okay. Fandral is trying to dwarf running towards the nice small corridors that the dragons can't get down. And I see these two still hanging out by the doors. Or Fenna, I see Fenna trying to close the door.
Yeah, she's rushing to the doors. Flint is clearly grabbing this chunk of stone as if he's going to lift it himself, right?
Idiots.
Love you too.
I guess I'll go run to slam a shoulder against the other door that, you know, opposite one Fenn is.
All right, cool. Cool. Meanwhile, obviously, like the other dwarves are shuffling out up toward like whatever exit you pointed to, the back, whatever, right? Small tunnels.
There's going to be a servant's entrance leading to the kitchens, right?
It's not really that kind of hall, but there are definitely tunnels out from a different... we'll see where they lead. So cool. You're helping Fenna then. So I think the two of you just, you know, you heave to and you get the doors closed. Fenna like reaches for the lever that closes the internal
locks.
The what do you call them? Bars that are sort of in the door that closes.
I've got the spider breaker of Marl with me. We can do this. Anyway, and he's going to push as hard as him and Fenna, who's not actually pushing, can. We just need to get enough space to get him to crawl out. We don't have to lift the full thing. We just kind of have to roll it or twist it or something.
All right.
So we're going to inflict power on this thing, right?
Do you have leverage-wise?
No, it's really too bad that Roar got
flambéed.
Yeah. You could have really used him.
No, because we wouldn't be in this situation, because I'd be dead, or I'd be burning.
Says you.
Or I'd be burning, one or the other.
Yeah. We'd be in a lot better situation, right?
So, you guys have to carry me out. Yeah, and you know how big Ufkel is.
So you have no deeds there, Kel.
Nope.
And nope. Flint has no deeds. So this is this is going to be fun. Okay. So
interesting choice of words.
And Flint has the higher strength, so I have a B4 power.
Let's roll this back. You're using power.
Yeah.
You're 5, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're helping. Ulfkill's helping with 2 dice for 7. So 7 dice versus 8. And unfortunately, Ulfkill cannot spend any Arta for your test. However, you are free to spend Arta on your own.
I will spend my last one. Make it 8 dice versus obstacle 8.
Chancy. Mm. Okay.
Like I said, I've got a mad pool of fate if I can ever roll a 6.
Yeah. So if you get this, like if you succeed, you manage actually to ship the rock and get Ulfkill out there. Ulfkill can haul himself up. If you don't, you're still going to shift it enough that he gets out, but he's going to get injured in the process.
Crush an arm or something.
Yeah, crush him in a bit. Just a bit. Pinch him a bit.
A little crush.
the chunk in the floor. So go for it. Fuck it.
No sixes. No bloody sixes.
Freaking kidding me.
Okay, this is technically bad, but I had this in mind from before.
The idea of rolling 13 dice and not getting a single 6 is so fun.
Seriously, I'm going to go back a little on the consequence. You don't hurt him, but it takes time. It takes time you don't technically have, right? So you manage to shift it enough, you know, you strain, you groan. Ulfkill strains and groans and sticks his hammer in between and uses it for a lever. And like, you start getting up and you know, Fenna rushes forth and grabs Ulfkill's arm from one side and starts hauling.
Not without me hammer!
Yeah, right. And you get kind of stuck, like your hammer gets stuck between you and all that.
My lord, if you could help us a little bit, you know.
your grip slips a bit, so the stone sort of goes back. The big chunk sort of goes back. The weight comes on Ulfkill, but it doesn't crush him. You catch it in time.
Boy!
And you know, you're all sweating and it's crazy. And then, like, the big... boom, 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 outside, like, is almost upon you. And this constant deep breathing is almost at the door. And you can hear first a big, huge, crazy blast again of fire. This just drowns out all other noise, clearly directed at the doors. When it stops, all you notice is like a few wisps of smoke rising from the bottom of the doors, right? From outside. So clearly that didn't work.
God bless dwarven engineering.
Right. And maybe that's what you say, like, you know, or something. We don't have God here. So,
Gods.
Helgothar.
Yes. You managed to haul Ulfkill up just barely. The air up here is not much better than below, but at least now you can actually take a full lung full of air.
Oh, Lord, you got magma underneath this place.
There, he is up. We have to leave, Susanna. And right at that moment, right, you hear like metallic chunk, and there are three indents in one of the egots, one of the doors, one of the great big, I'm thinking like iron or metal doors, right?
One of the panels on it, yeah.
No. The whole freaking thing is, the double doors are all metal. Crazy dwarven bullshit. And these three huge pinpoints begin to buckle inward, and you hear this, you know, screech of metal as it's being twisted. And in the middle of the pinpoints, when they start buckling inward, you see these reddish points as if something really hot is being poked through, right?
No, we don't see that because our backs to the door and we're running away. Dragon Wolfkill.
Yeah, so you're rushing up the steps and follow out through the smaller corridors as you hear the twisting of the metal behind you. And just as you exit the room into the tunnels, you hear this horrible, chunky, twisting rip as presumably one of the doors is just, or both, since they were barred together, are just ripped out of the frame, like, and this breathing, this eardrum vibrating, deep, horrible breath, begins to hit you again.
Not to be one that, you know, actually more like, not to be one to, you know, call the wisdom of this, sir, but we are in a small little tunnel, and he breathes fire.
You can go wherever you want, Ifkel. We'll be glad to drop you here.
No, I'm happy to be with you, my lord.
Somebody test Holdwise and tell me where these tunnels lead. You can help each other.
Tunnel? Oh, no, I have both at learning, so I actually can't help.
At cartography.
Not really Flint? What I'm looking for.
Flint, you're the scout. Don't you have Holdwise? Yes, you do.
When I'm not muted, sure.
Well, okay, let's check this out. I think maybe a certain prince is learning Holdwise, right? So that means it's a stat test, and people with actual skills can help people with stats, learning skills. So, and it seems that you are the one who, I mean, Fandral seems to be the one who's A, he's lived here before, and B, he knows the layout. So.
Get an advantage die for
that. Sure.
Flip with Holdwise, he's been the messenger boy, so he knows the ways in and out of most holds and keeps. Even though Scoria is new, there are just certain things that you always know that right. are associated with mm-hmm. grand halls like this.
But you're not one rolling, that's Fandral's rolling.
So Fandral tells me where is this little like back tunnel leading first? And this is basically your intent of where you want to end up.
Well, there's got to be some servant areas where they prep food or whatever. And there's also the king's den or whatever, you know, where he might ready himself before he goes out and meets the people.
Absolutely, yes.
That is called the green room.
I'll call that an ob2 hold wise to make sure it's you're going the right way, right? Which is doubled, of course, to four, which is because it's beginner's luck. It's a perception skill. So you're rolling six dice to begin with. And Flint, what's your hold wise?
D3.
Okay, so one die from Flint. So seven versus four.
Easy peasy.
Eight with the advantage die, right?
Yes. Routine test for advancing hold wise.
Yeah. Oh!
I know this place.
He used to play in these halls.
So I see you have some sixes. You have two successes above. Can I convince you to explode those sixes for a boon?
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Ouch. And two more sixes, so keep rolling. And another six.
I better get something really good because this is the best roll I've ever had.
Indeed, like you've been banking the sixes until now.
So that's
10.
Not only does it lead exactly to where you want, like it goes exactly to the servants' quarters and the ready room where the princes or kings of old would array themselves before they went out and presented themselves in the magnificent throne room, right? And you rush in and there are the confused 20 odd axe bearers there. And you just see this mess of overwebbed, spiderwebbed, like suits of princely armor and stuff. You see right away, straight away, that this is the arrayment hall where they used to store all of the old, like, masterwork, the legendary, you know, dwarven mail armors with the faceplates and everything that reportedly protected one from fire. There are four full suits that aren't completely fucked that nobody has gotten to yet. No looters came here. No greedy dwarf, no human went here. Probably because they were too terrified to go up here and talk to Rom, since he was here and breathing fire and stuff. They're right there, and they're dusty, they're cobwebbed.
I'll go over.
But you find them.
Wipe off one that see that it's got my family crest on it. Go, ah, this one's mine.
Vanna's, coming up behind, and she's kind of looking over your shoulder and is clearly awed, right? Because this is wealth. In fact, everyone with wealth or craftsmanship, greed time. Let's see you fight over this. What this is she's magnificent, which is a steel test. And the obstacle is going to be either your hesitation or your greed exponent, if that is higher, which is the case for Vandrel. I'm pretty sure it's not the case for either Ulfkill or Flint.
It's five. Yeah, I got it. This is five. My greed is five.
Yeah, so same.
Well, I've already said mine.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Let's see how many combat you.
Yeah, I make it. I'd roll exactly my greed.
Excellent.
Bloody. None of them my size. You know, as I hit my stout dwarf
the
body.
The test is passed. There is no adverse reaction. The character maintains his composure and restrains his will.
I look over at Flint. Yeah, that one over there fits you, lad.
Thanks. So I'm rolling six dice and trying to get five or more?
Yes.
No, wherever your hesitation or greed is, whichever is higher.
I think they're the same.
And steel is open-ended by default, so any sixes you roll, re-roll them right away. So what is your hesitation, Flint? Was it five?
Five.
Yeah, so for three actions, you have to either stand and drool, or you gotta it.
How about, can I run my hand over all the other suits looking for a Goddardam crest?
That could be part of standing and drooling, yeah. You're just like, oh.
Uh-oh, sure, we'll do that. We'll dust off the other suits and try to see what the deal is.
All of them apparently have the Vandrel's clan, seals on them. Whether they were put there after manufacture or what, we don't know, but they're all marked. And Gurm is sort of coughing in the background.
Oh, Gurm's still alive. Great.
Sorry about the dust.
They're magnificent. I didn't think anything like this was still around. I haven't seen anything like it.
This is where we say something disparaging about that bastard Dooney hadn't found them and sold them.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, Fenas as well. They are magnificent. We should bring them.
Well, this is when Ulfkill puts his hand up and then points to all the webs. There may be a reason why no one's come in here. I wonder if Mother's got him in here.
They're not that size webs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Not like...
Pick up a little spider, hold that out to Ulfkill.
Ulfkill reaches out and crushes it, throws it to the ground.
There you go, spider breaker.
Horrible man.
Wait a second. If we got Andre here, I look around for the weapons rack.
Sure.
My liege, I hold up my poorly made hammer. If I find one that's better, may I?
I would say yes.
Going to look through the hammers to see if there's one that's better. Which means anything in here is dwarf made is better than what I got right now.
Yeah. There are some chunky swords, some axes hanging sideways in half-ruined racks. Sword or axe is your choice.
I don't have axe-wise.
Axe-wise? You can tell right away. You don't need a wise. You can tell as a dwarf. These are all better than what you got.
Yes, but I don't have... My combat skill is hammer.
Yeah.
I don't have axe or sword. So it's just like I'm looking at these things going, well, grab one at random, an axe. It's... You use it like hammer, right?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Saw you throw one with great skill once.
Aye.
Well, this would be a good time to get any axe bearers equipped that lost their weapons in the flight.
Oh, yeah. You could easily do that. A lot of them had their stuff in their belts, so it's not too bad. But yeah, like one or two maybe. picking out something in a bit of a haste. There are a few experts, you know, peering fearfully into the corridor where you came from. All you hear is this distant breathing, but no fire is like jetting through it or anything. So you're pilfering the suits?
Yeah.
All right.
You have to give the humans credit. They really know how to fuck things up.
So then we gather up the great armor and we'll continue towards the rear exit.
Flint, do you grab a suit and start putting it on?
That's a bit of work. Like, that's going to take a while. You're in transit, so to speak. You can grab suits and run with it, right?
Well, I do have Dwarven. Let's see. I think there's an R in there. Heavy mail. Statistically, is that the same? Or is this stuff actually head and shoulders better than that?
This is like Fandral Rolls Royce better.
We'll drag one out if I don't have to brain anybody for it.
No. Unless the prince is like, well, actually, Flint, I think you should leave that to me.
I picked the best suit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, the prince gets first pick of the litter. Hey, I've been enough of a shield man for him. I could probably wear his livery and not feel bad about it.
Totally. I forgot to check in with the Fandral. Like, you failed the steel test, but only by two, right?
Two, I believe.
So two actions, stand and drool, essentially. I didn't hear a, I must have it! Functionally the same, perhaps, but I would have perhaps thrown in some complications in that case.
Well, what you do is you put the player on the spot and say, tell us what you are telling everyone else about the history of this armor.
No, I would have been like, you know, oh, nobody else touches these armors. Those, I mean, I did say the seal of his family are on all of them, so you would have gotten nothing. But if it's stand and drool, it's like, oh, okay, grabbing that.
Obviously, he must have the one he wants.
Sure.
But he can't wear more than one, so.
Indeed, it's not the crazy greed, it's just the regular greed. The bread and butter.
Dwarven greed.
So anything else we want to accomplish inside this little tiny scene? Any blathering, any tests? Do you want to test any history? Do you want to test any stuff-wise?
Maybe ancient history. Maybe I know something about the armor that's particularly neat.
Tell me something that you know about the armor.
This looks like it was worn by my great-grandfather Pendral during his great campaigns and has special mythic protection.
Oh, yeah, okay. So... You do remember right away, like, the look of these armors is the type of armor that is rumored, at least, to be, like, fireproof. But maybe the ancient history test is about saying, oh, this is, in fact, not only, you know, this type of armor that I heard about, this is the one armor that my ancestor wore in this engagement, right? So it could be proof. So what's your intent? Establish beyond a doubt that they are fireproof, or at least that suit? Okay, it's kind of specific. It's a single person. It's a single person's armor, but it's not like Joe Baker. It's actually a forebear of princely type. Yeah, so let's call it an R4. Not an obscure person in history, but I think the deal you're talking about is a bit obscure. The specific event of, like, you know, we remember this time when he faced, in fact, a real fire inferno or something and live. So what is your exponent?
Five.
So you get four successes. It's true. You get fewer successes. Maybe it's not true. No, you're not the one with chronology of kings, right? That's Ari.
Would banner-wise help with insignia and such? Have a B2 and banner-wise.
Which would be something similar to heraldry.
Just enough to confirm, oh yeah, that was what's-his-face. Just trying to lend a die.
I'll go for that. If you want to help, that's fine.
Sure, sure. Because I'm already disappointed that there's no Goddamn crest, but that means I may recognize some of the others. Because it's a family seal doesn't mean that's not the only thing. There might be other regalia and streamers and stuff that would go with that.
So this would be, for you, it would be a challenging test for banner-wise. So you go ahead and record that. And for Fandral, it's difficult, right? As it stands, anyway. Helping die is going to bump down.
I'll throw a persona on there. Four.
So what in the armor or about the armor is it that jogs your memory?
I go, yeah, I wonder if this is that armor that Pendral wore when he was facing off against the goblins, tried to roll flaming logs at them, and he was able to walk right through there. And then Flint maybe points out that, oh, here's the symbol of that battle.
Ah.
It's like a fire symbol that...
I imagine it's a streamer of burning tree.
Is that something that dwarves do if they're like powerful and have like, are all like dwarven male armors like historied in that way? Like each owner adds something to them or like a mark or something?
Well, definitely the ceremonial pieces that we have here. Standard working armor? It depends on your vanity.
Well, not working armor. I'm talking about, these aren't strictly speaking ceremonial. They're just the best possible armor that dwarves can make. And because they're so hard to make, they're inherited, right? They count as property.
Record history on them that this armor was in this battle and this campaign worn by this great person.
Right. So maybe you can trace the history of the armor by looking at all of the like little seals and stuff that people have worked in over the centuries.
Sounds like it's got a bunch of Boy Scout badges on it.
I'm thinking maybe the inside, if you like open it up, there's like a leather plating or something on the inside on the back, and there's someone's you know insignia. One of the like plates that cover the belly portion has on the inside has, you know, a stamp or something. Like, so slowly throughout the centuries, it becomes this not gaudy, but this collection of not Boy Scout stamps, but or medals, but there's scribblings and old runes and stuff that if you know what you're looking for, you can like the oldest suits are probably like the oldest markings on them are probably almost effaced. Like there are probably layers of markings.
I sit there, I look down, I pick up my flask. Bloody hell! Me apprentices and the other dwarves at the back of the campfire.
Yes, that's why we're getting out of here.
How? I point to the way we came in. We ain't going out that way, sire.
Well, there are other ways.
Yeah, follow me, you idiot. Somebody drag Ulfgel. Let's go.
Sire, you strike me to the core.
I think Gurm is just like, got him some slack. He just had a stone fall on him.
I've had worse.
Don't forget, he was also gassed and squeezed.
It's not my first fire either.
As you guys begin to bicker and like do your back and forth, and you shuffle through the next tunnel out of this place with your gains in hand, we diagonal wipe to outside of Scoria, outer Scoria, a dismal cave essentially connected to the underway that goes north, where we see a bunch of Marl scouts sitting in the middle of the cave. It's a kind of cramped small cave. They're sitting in the middle. They're chained hand and foot. Half of them are barefoot. There's Ty. There's Slate.
Dog.
Not the dog.
Oh, where'd he go?
The dog was in camp, remember?
He's probably still waiting there for me.
There's Rollin, who somebody, you know, beat his feet or something. So they're sort of cut up and bloody, and he sort of winces every once in a while and holds them. And there are three other scouts, one of which you may remember is Sled, the guy that you sort of didn't have time to treat way back when, and as such, he lost one of his eyes, or he lost the sight in one of his eyes. It's like milky and crap. He was one of Roar's men, technically, but since you had scouts on the mend hurt, he had volunteered for scout duty. And of course, that didn't go so well, possibly because he's half blind. So you're in the middle, and you're sort of grumbling and so forth. But as we recall, Slate calmed Ty. So Ty is he's much more level than you ever seen him, I think, biding his time, right? He has like a cut lip, a cut above his brow. He looks like he has been worked over. And around you, here and there, are Breccia axe bearers and Sergeant Thod, who is pacing back and forth and gnawing his beard, waiting for something, some order, some messenger. What do you do, Slate? You're in the middle, you're chained up.
Okay, I can't use my hands then.
Well, you can use them, but they're kind of chained to the rest of the dwarves.
I know Thod's name, don't I?
Oh yeah. He introduced himself.
Oh, I'm gonna try and get his attention.
Yeah, he squints over to you. squints at the rest of the scouts, and then he heaves a sigh and he points to you. He gets the attention of one of the Brekkia axe bearers, points to you, and the axe bearer walks over to you, grabs you by the shoulder, hauls you up if you're sitting.
I am.
So. Yeah. He gives you a look like, if you make any sudden moves, you're going to regret it. Like, he doesn't say it, but you can tell right away that that's what he's putting down. And then he starts to unlock your manacles and your feticles, whatever that's called.
Shackles. Feticles.
So yeah, you come loose. Like, there's been some chafing. The iron has chafed into your skin a bit. So it's nice to be free.
Slate still barefoot?
Slate, if he was barefoot before, I don't remember that.
Shoes to somebody. I don't remember who.
What? I don't remember that, but okay.
I just remember he was barefoot. I can't remember why.
All right. They probably took his shoes in that case. Bastard Brekkia dwarves. So
he's going to keep his hands behind his back because he doesn't. He is smart enough to know if he tries anything right now, he's going to get killed, and he's going to get the rest of them killed.
Yeah, the axe bearer is like thumbing his axe in his belt, you know, just waiting for you in the way that a gunfighter would like put his hand on his pistol. Right? Just waiting for you to do something. And he's just watching you. And Thod's like waving you over.
All right. I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to keep my hands where they can see them.
Behind your back.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, literally behind my back and open so they can see. Okay. I don't have anything.
Thod, for a dwarf, he's like approaching dwarven middle age. He's bald. He has a big forked beard. You may not remember, but like a year and 5 days ago, or like a year and almost a year ago, we established that he clearly wasn't comfortable with his orders, right? His commander had told him, like, you know, you go to so-and-so place and you wait for the signal and you know what to do. And clearly that was something that he wasn't comfy with. So he's still in that state. Like, he's clearly mulling things over, like, well, okay, what am I going to do? Like, if I get the order, what am I going to do?
He doesn't want to kill us. Okay, I'm going to use that.
Yeah, so he's like, what do you want?
Well, I'd like to treat my men.
What?
One of them is not going to be able to walk, so they won't be much use to you.
He looks at their feet, and then he shrugs, and he says,
I need my pack back.
Chances are you're not going to be walking out of this cave anyway.
Yeah, but they don't need to know that. You and I are both smart enough to know what's going to happen, but they don't need to know that.
Are you looking at all at the other dwarves when you say this?
No, I'm not. I'm keeping my voice also very, very low.
So Thod's, he's looking at them and he's just like, I think one or two of them aren't that dumb.
Yeah, I think one or two of them aren't either, but there's no use in making the rest of them panic. You barely could get us under control when we were still free. You think that knowing what's going to happen to us is going to help you in this situation? I can keep them calm, but only if you let me do what I was trained to do.
I think he sighs and he says, I don't have your instruments.
Do you have anything that I could use?
He looks about to the Brekkia axe bearers, and then he says, water, maybe some rags.
Water, rags, and I don't know the name of the plants around you, but like me personally as a player just does not know the name of the plants, but he rattles off a few that might help with the pain. If you have any of that. I can do my
shakes
job.
His head like they're not like super savvy about cave fungus and lichen and stuff. So the best he can offer you are like field dressing, cleaning and dressing the wounds.
I can deal with that. So yeah. And before he turns to give the order, I very slowly, so the axe bearers don't jump.
Okay.
On me, I'm gonna just put my hand on his shoulder very lightly. For what it's worth, I don't blame you.
When you do that, You can hear this like shift in you know, behind you, you know, the axe bearer who's looking at you constantly. You can feel his eyes in the back of your head. You hear this shift of leather, like he shifted his stance probably to be ready for you doing something. And when he does that, you hear this rattle of the chains. So you know the scouts are like, okay, whoa, what's happening? So like there's this appreciable tension, rise of tension in that moment. And, you know, Thod's looking down at your hand and then to you, and he just nods, like, silently. And that seems to like dispel the immediate craziness. There's another like leathery shift behind you, and as probably the axe bearer relaxes a little, you can see Ty is like looking at you guys very intently, like trying to keep his cool. Rollin is just glaring at all the axe bearers, and Sled is scratching his ruined eye.
I assume he's going to bring water and rags.
Yeah, he signs for some of the others to bring them to you.
So I'm going to go over to Ty, and I'm going to make a big deal out of washing and dressing the cracked lip and the scrapes and stuff while I'm talking very low to him.
As you do, like, there seems to be like something, like you did something to Ty. Like, you gave him a bit of confidence, at least that you had a chance, a shot at getting out of here last time. So he's just like looking back at the axe bearer who's looking at you. Kind of like, you know, these like young dogs, young male dogs looking at each other like, oh, yeah, you go. No, oh, you go. I'm ready, you know. So he's like, you're dabbing his face and he's just like kind of swatting away you away as he's like making sure that he keeps eye contact with this other guy. I mean, he's totally outclassed, clearly, but still, he's like,
oh, God,
you want to go? Because I'm going to go. Like, if you mess with Slate, like, what are you whispering to him?
He needs to keep a lid on it for the time being, because in essentially Slate knows they're going to kill us. So he says that to Ty, and he says he needs to keep that from the others.
So under his breath, he's like, so how are we getting out of here?
Just wait for the right moment. There will be a moment, and it'll be only one moment, and we're going to grab it. So don't do anything until I tell you to.
Cool. I think your successful soothing platitudes from previously, that rides till now. So you don't need to make any new tests. He's clearly on board. You can see, though, that Sled's like, he's giving you the stink eye, and he looks at you.
Sled's smart enough to know what they're going to do to us.
Oh, yeah, and it's clear that he blames you. He looks at you, like, gives you the dirty eye, and then he spits demonstratively on the floor, like...
I think it doesn't bother Slate, to be perfectly honest. I think he's just going to roll his eyes and move on to the next injured one, the one with the sore feet.
Beyond treating the dwarves, like, what do you do?
I'm doing two things when I'm treating the dwarves. I'm treating their wounds. Second thing is I'm seeing who is fit to run out of here. Who's fit to run, and who's fit to carry, and who's fit to get the supplies, and who's fit to fight.
How would we put that? Could be perception, could also be your chirurgy.
Like
I think you could use your chirurgy to like say it would be a lower obstacle. Because you know, like, okay, you can't run on this foot, you can run on this foot, so forth, right? It's more of a medical, purely fit-wise, ob one chirurgy skill test.
It's a B5.
You could fork in anatomy if you want to have a better understanding. So six dice. 1, 2, 3, 4. So no worries. Rollin is, like, clearly bothered by the cuts. He could probably put up a fight, but he couldn't run very far. The others are pretty decent. Some of them have been jostled around, maybe punched, but not bad.
All right, so I have a count in my head. So how many guards versus how many fit dwarves?
So let me stop you here for a moment. Let's go over your beliefs again. Because currently, your belief is you will convince Thod that you're not enemies, right?
Yeah, I am, like, but I have to have a backup plan.
Okay. So this is just like a... Okay, if things go
like
to shit,
if shit hits the fan,
gotcha.
Then this is what we're working with. But nice. I am still going to try to convince Thod. I need to get him alone.
Like you are as alone as you're going to be. Like if you go over to him again and talk to him, you speak low together. That's as private as it gets.
I try to find some common ground with him. What is he doing while I'm examining dwarves?
He's looking at you work without actually looking at you work. Like, again, he's gnawing his lower lip, like clearly preoccupied with the weight of duty.
And once I'm finished, I'm going to go back over to him. Couldn't help but notice that you're a bit pensive. Do you want to talk about it?
I think he scowls at you like, no, don't. And there's just like this moment where he looks back at like the empty shackles. And you can see that he's thinking of like, oh, I should just tell him to go put his shackles on again.
I'm not going to hurt you.
I think that's great, because actually, give me a soothing platitudes and take an extra like advantage die. I think he's in need of somebody to like take the edge off. So I'm going to lower his obstacle to 3. So you're rolling 4 versus 3. And if you succeed, like you're going to open an avenue of like real communication where he's not on guard. If you don't, he's going to like take that away from you. He's going to take away that avenue. Like you're going to be back. You're going to have to go with plan B essentially.
Can I fork in anything?
Do you have funny wise or?
No, not really. Etiquette, but that's about
it. I guess you could fork in coarse persuasion since if you're being like, you know, if you give him a jog, you know, shove his shoulder or something, like be a bit touchy.
I can be a bit touchy. I don't have any weapons, so that works.
Dummy. I'm no threat to you. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to hurt you.
I can throw that one in, so I get 5.
Oh, you spent a persona.
Yeah, I did. And I still managed to fail. Oh, well.
You have no 6s. Okay, ouch. So you do that. He cracks a smile. It could have been a smile of you know, a friendly smile, but instead it's the sinister smile instead. Like, or not sinister. It's a no-shit Sherlock smile.
Okay, it's ironic.
And then, you know, he points to the, you know, shackles. He says, are you going to put them on yourself? Or is he going to do it for you? And he nods to the axe bearer.
I'll put them on myself. Fucking
you with his eyes.
I'll put them on myself. You don't have to bring in the big guns. Like I said, I mean you no harm. We're not your enemies, Thod. Walks back over and puts the shackles on with no resistance.
Ty is like, he's looking at the axe bearer and then he's like shifting his, you know, shoulder a little your way. And it's like, so what do we do?
Still working that out. I'm counting how many guards there are.
There are 5 axe bearers all told, plus Thod, so 6. So you're evenly numbered, but you guys are shackled. You have no equipment, that kind of stuff. Most of you are barefoot. All of you, in fact.
I do have an idea, but it's really stupid.
Do you want to think a little about it, or?
I'd like to think a little about it.
Okay, let's cut away to the other dwarves. So out of the arraignment hall, you rush through the corridors and downstairs, and you end up in a, not a deep dark chasm, but a deep dark crevice alleyway to the side away from the throne room. You pour out into Scoria, and like way above you up to the left, right, you hear there's this rumbling and ruckusing about, and there's this roaring occasionally of fire, and the mountain shakes a little under your feet. But you're out, right?
We're going to have to rebuild your throne room, my liege.
Yes, that will be on the agenda after we get rid of the dragon.
Aye. So how do we do it, my lord?
First, let's get to our people and make sure that they get to safety.
And where would that be, my lord?
How many axe bearers do we have? How many axe bearers does Fenna have?
All told, you have about, well, okay, you had 22 of them. You had 12 yourselves, plus you guys, and Fenna brought in 10. So she's her entire like group are 12 dwarves, her, Gurm, and 10 axe bearers.
Okay, not enough to stage a coup d'etat.
Here's also the thing. We haven't gotten into the terms yet, but she lost the Dulowitz and is under the obligation of like supporting Fandral as like prince, king. So if there's treachery, it's not going to come from her.
So if he killed Gurm, you know.
I wasn't quite thinking treachery. I was just saying, dear, could you see if these manacles fit you?
Yeah, I think we'll head to the lower levels where there are fewer places for a giant dragon to go.
Here's a question for all of you. You're in the richer kind of district where all the like important clan halls are located. And a few of them you had people in, like the Stonehewers Hall where Stonebones and Bruna and some of the infirm dwarves hung out. And a few of the other, like there was one in particular that was put aside for your party by Rom, or no, Gromus, Egods, the former Watch Commander. But I guess also there may be some brewers down in the breweries. working
no,
we, to...
Well, no, the plan was go clean, you know, clear out Black Rock, and then we would go, get over there and set up shop. So they're basically all wherever we staged at.
They're in the staging area before moving all of the stuff down into the breweries.
Yeah, right yeah, now, which yeah. is be a
so
bit
they're
of
still
problem.
Technically they're in Scoria proper.
Yeah.
Well, you have a few leads. Where do you want to go?
Well, we're going to go assembling our party and look to go down into some of the deeper levels of where we can kind of get ourselves together and organize without a dragon suddenly popping its head.
Okay, well, you can easily slip away, find some lower nondescript hold or tunnel, and find a space where you can just take a breath and figure out what to do if you want to do that. That's easy. We can just cut to that if you want to have a scene chatting about it. Or... Mm-hmm. You could just pick, like, okay, you go there, you go there, you go there, and then we jump to that scene.
Flint, you said the dragon was, you know, so big and so long, he wouldn't fit in the passageway to the Black Rock Brewery, would he now?
You always got brewery on the brain, and every time I unmute, the dog barks. Speaking of dogs, gather up the dogs and...
Aye, they're good eating.
No. Slate.
Slate? Aye, where's Slate?
Looking over, Slate was used by Fenna as a bargaining chip, right?
Yes, or at least Slate's satchel.
I guess I'm terribly asked, did that come with us or not?
All right, so I guess what we're doing is you're shuffling off to this.
The first, we're going to get all the dwarves so they know what's going on, so they don't come wandering in like, ah, dragon!
You're going to have to find them. Right, that is the first thing, and finding them is going to risk drawing the attention of this dragon. So that's the thing. That's just not something that will happen.
Thank goodness you have a scout.
We know where my boys are.
So let's say you know, you file out into this like little dark alleyway down to the side, way down away from the immediate attention of the dragon. You're all like, okay, we're out. Scorius before you. Now what do we do?
Stone Bones is over there. If he's there, then I need to go that way to get to the wagon train.
Yeah, I think your brewers are the ones who would be farthest away from the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And the others, we haven't spread out too far because we're not that many. So we'll go count noses and count beards and get everybody together and get to some place that's relatively safe where the dragons can't get.
I'll go off to meet dwarves, sir, my apprentices, sir. And where should we meet you?
We'll meet in front of the meeting hall where we have the council.
Oh, that's very close. Smarter idea might be actually to rendezvous with the brewer dwarves at the staging area because that's the farthest away, right?
We'll come to you.
Aye, sir. If I see anyone on the way there, I'll tell them to follow me. Wish me luck, and I'd start trotting off.
I am concerned about my scouts, but I'm also concerned about our people in the infirmary. Both need to be found and evacuated.
Yes, the infirmary's right over there. That won't be too hard to find. Evacuating them, gather up people you need to make litters, and we'll carry them.
Fenna, what about our people? Are you going to release them?
They have no bargaining value to me now. They should be safe in a... And then she remembers something, and she swears to herself...
Yeah, I think Fandor goes, wow, they got to be safer than us, right?
She says, I left them in the care of my captain. And my captain is, she has a temper. If she thinks I might be in danger, she might do something rash. I need to get to her now.
Okay.
You and your people go and make sure that they are safe. Where can we get back in contact with you and you, the rest of your Breccia dwarves?
So Gurm will go, well, it may help matters if we come with the prince in tow. You know, our captives might be more inclined to believe we are unified in purpose, yes?
Your people don't believe you? I guess that's why I'm king.
No, I'm talking about your people. Trust, all that.
So then I guess we're relocating our camp. Outside of Scoria.
Might be a good idea, yes.
Perhaps at the Great Gates?
Why not?
It's a good landmark.
Well, let's get our group together and move out.
Well, if you'll tend to that, sir, I'll take care of the infirmary and make sure that Stone Bones and Bruna and the others get back to the camp.
I thought you were already doing that. Get going.
Gone. Give him a salute and out.
All right. Here's a question for Todd. Would you like to revise your belief about finding Slate? Because it seems like...
I pawned that belief off on Fandral, so I don't know if that's mission accomplished or not.
Well, it's not something you were doing, right? So I'm sure you're interested in helping Slate.
I can't protect them all!
Yeah, I know. So maybe you should decide, like, get Bruna and Stonebones out of...
That seems
to be what you're doing now.
Yes, the situation is fluid. We'll go with Stonebones and Bruna, because I'm pretty sure they have questions too, like... What was that ungodly noise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. We'll update.
Get cool. Dog, too.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slate's dog is in the Breccia camp.
Oops.
Way out of reach for any of you.
To the infirmary.
All right.
So I'm just waiting for the penny to drop and everyone to remember that Wolfkill wasn't there when you changed the plans.
I know. It's fun. It can be remedied by Fandral going, and somebody run after Wolfkill.
But that would require him to actually consider Wolfkill that important. Remember about.
Well, he's responsible for a whole lot of dwarves that Fandral has a belief about, so yes.
We are leaving, so when we're getting out of here, we'll probably head close enough to where he is, except you're going to have to leave your wagons and stuff behind.
Well, we'll carry what beer we can.
All right, let's pick some dwarves. I think we'll start with Wolfkill. You ran away. You ran ahead to begin with, right?
And if I meet anyone, I say, come with me. We're assembling at the camp.
After a minute or two of rushing, you know, trying to orientate, you know, rushing up some stairs and into some side streets, you hear, you know, somebody calling after you, Wolfkill, wait!
Turn around. Who is
that? And this guy with a bit of a weird grin because of a scar comes huffing after you with his new footman's axe, the Axeburgrinnir from previously.
We're assembling before the gates, outside the gates. Different plan. I'll come with you.
So this is less about finding your way back and more about finding your way back expediently without drawing unwanted attention. Because, you know, give you half an hour and you would have found it. No.
What am I going against?
I'm going to say an ob 3. There's a lot of chaos, weird things going on. You want to get there expediently without drawing attention.
Flashes a light from up above in the gallery from where the castle is.
Yep.
So, well, I got that. Makes it a 6 because it doubles because I'm still learning. And I'm rolling a 6. I'm not going to spend anything. I only got 1 persona left. I am not spending that. Which I actually got a 1 success. Yeah.
You're rushing through this now dead, rumbling dwarf hold, and you're crossing like a little side street that opens up upon the main avenue. And this dog, this yelping great big warghound starts, you know, comes careering past you. Yeah, its entire back is engulfed in fire. There's another crawling away from the big, like, heaps of charred human corpses that appear to have been caught half in the mess. You see a couple of the humans that appear to be kind of badly burnt. They look like servants. Look like, if you remember, maybe Velaris servants, right? Not necessarily the warriors, but the people who walked around with them.
The camp followers, basically.
Yes, sort of.
Obviously not true believers.
The non-incinerated versions.
They holler and shout and scream and rush for you, waving their arms.
My axe comes up and I say, hold. Are they on fire?
No, they're not on fire. They're just burnt. They've been seared. One's half face is almost seared off. The other guy has very bad burns on his arms. They're sooty, they're sweaty, they're just, they look wild, and, you know, their eyes are bloodshot and wide.
My axe is out there yelling, hold, stop, back me up.
He lifts his, like, footman's axe over his head like a Tusken Raider and goes, to counter scream at them to make them stop. It works, right? They halt, but they don't stop shouting and so forth. They're like, they stop a bit in front of you, and one of them kind of tries to reach for you, but Grineer like waves his axe, and so he takes a step back. You hear something in the muddled mess of syllables, like something about help and mistress and dragon death.
Oh, the lady! I sit there because I don't speak human. lady, and I make the hand motions, you know.
Well, one of them, like, you know, he recognizes you, and he grabs the other one. It's like, points to you, and there's this mess of syllables in their own language. Tries to sign for you to, like, nods, and yes, lady, and, you know, and he points back out toward the avenue.
I go, is it Grignir, right?
Grignir.
Grignir. Find the apprentices and let them know. I gotta help these rescue the lady. Lad, come here. As the headmaster of the Brewers Guild of Scoria Deep, I task you with this. Go find the brewers and take them to the main gate.
He sort of does that kind of jumping from one foot to the other. Not sure if he should be running with you or running away. But then he swears at you and goes, "We're insane, Ofkel!" And then he runs off toward the brewers.
Remember, I task you. As I walk, I see that poor dog, and I go, "Buddy, forgive me, Slate. Chop!"
Oh.
I don't want to be in pain, so I just kill it.
Once Grignir rushes off, they both sort of are on you, like, and they're pawing you, and they're dragging you, and they're pointing.
I shake him off. Lead. Make finger motion. Lead.
I think you have to make a show of saying you're the boss, because they're in some kind of wild panic.
Well, I'm learning intimidation. The axe is out. Probably has the nice little brass bit on the bottom. Clang it on the floor. Thump my chest. And I point at two of them, and then I point, and I just yell, lead me to her, the lady. I'm going to try intimidation at this point, because it's...
Sounds good. More like command.
All right, that's good.
What is your command? Oh, it's your learning.
Yeah.
This test will cross it off, so you get command.
Woo. So what am I rolling against?
4.
Okay, so 8?
Yeah, it's harsh. Beginner's luck is harsh.
Do you think I can fork in that? I don't think I can.
It's a stat, so no, you can't fork anything.
6 to versus 8.
Roll sixes.
I got 2 sixes on that. Yeah, I will spend a fate point on that. I got 5 out of 8, so I missed it by 3.
You try to do the whole, like, you know, listen to me thing, but they're grabbing the axe, they're grabbing you, they're grabbing you by the beard, by the hair,
pulling I just and start
waving
running.
And shouting, and they drag you out in the middle of all the corpse piles. You know, you can see in the corner of your eye, right, how this big ship, this gout of smoke rolling out of the ruined doors.
I run to the nearest cover, dragging them along behind me.
Hold on. The smoke welling out of the throne room, the open ruined door. You see the twisted metal portals have been, like, flung down the steps. And this shape, these two, four hands, you know, four paws hands emerge and take hold of the door frame, and as they do, you know, the stone crumbles under them, and then this big huge head pokes out, and the burning ember eyes, you know, it's seen you, but
I'll have to go change my armor now.
It's a long ways away still.
I'll have to change my armor now. Now I run to the nearest cover.
They see it too, and one of them just rushes off in a random direction. He just wails and runs off in a different direction.
So is it Two-Face or is the other one? He said one has half his face burned off, so I'm calling him Two-Face in my head.
Oh, okay. Totally. It's the one with the arms, the burned arms, is less grabby. So he's like jumping around, and then, you know, he follows your lead.
I think it is a good point to switch over to the other party.
Let's go with Flint. You wanted to get to the old stone hewers, cutters, makers hall.
Without being devoured, that would be a real plus.
I can make no promises on that account now that you have spent your last persona.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a safety blanket. Thank you, Ofkel.
He didn't make you spend it. Anywho. Did he
nominate me for Shield of the Dwarves or some crap like that?
Oh, hey now, that's your trait. You were kind of acting in the protection of another dwarf, right?
Why do you think I did that? I'm Flint, Shield of the Dwarves. Duh!
That means the die trait says you get an extra die when you do that.
Oh.
You well, big it, dummy.
It doesn't matter. I was doomed to fail.
But that means you still have your persona.
I'll take that trait just in case I need to get my tail saved.
Okay, you're rushing off in your own direction. This is kind of concurrent with Ofkel's dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you fling an eye back at the Prince's Hall, like the throne room, right? You too see that there's just smoke and stuff welling out of it, but there's no dragon yet. You can hear this breathing and something moving around in there and the occasional rumble.
It's terrible that part of my mind is thinking, what is the dragon looking for?
Dwarves.
Probably dwarves, but at the same time, it definitely headed in a beeline to the throne room, almost like it either it knew something from Rom or it has some carryover memory of this is the place to be. This is my place. I know. I'm odd that way, but Flint would be trying to think like a dragon and failing.
So there's this moment where you're looking back and you're like, what is it doing up there? And then back to. So you want to get there, right? In an expedient fashion without being seen. I'd go for either Holdwise or Stealthy, depending on your intent. There's no way around it. You have to cross the main thoroughfare, the main avenue, where all of the corpses are sprawled. And it's stinky, it's messy, the smell is horrendous. There are wisps of smoke here and there bits of cloth are still burning.
We can use that to our advantage. That's difficult terrain. Quick question. Am I still schlepping around that extra suit of armor, or was there a scene change where I could have swapped out?
I don't think you would have had time to swap it out. You could have put it on one of the axe bearers you trusted. If you don't want to haul it around, it's a bit of a weight.
Yeah, I think it is temporarily in the arms of another dwarf.
Works for me.
And that's said with all the greed that I can muster. Well, Stealthy is B4. That seems like a lot better way to do this than Holdwise.
Sure. I'll give you an advantage for the terrain, shall we say.
So is it a lot easier to be stealthy when people aren't looking at you?
Well,
fingers
we'll
crossed.
See if there is someone looking at you, we don't know. So the ob is 3 again. So you're 5 dice currently.
That seems appropriate. Since it's a skill, can I fork Holdwise into finding the best path?
Sure, yes. If you also have, like, I don't know, ghastly battlefield-wise, you could potentially fork it in.
No, but when my life's not in peril, I actually get a decent roll.
Oh, you rolled okay.
So basically, zigzag from one pile of charred smoky husks going, wow, that's going to take a while to get that stink out.
Yeah, you here and there, you can hear the barking of dogs. You can hear the whining of dogs. You can hear faintly in the distance, you can hear the echoing of someone screaming. Not in pain necessarily, but like in like shock or something.
Dwarvish or human?
Tough to tell, but you may be leaning more toward human.
Personally, they caused this mess, so yeah, good for them. Let them scream.
Yeah.
I've got dwarves to take care of.
You make it to the Stonehewer's Hall. There's a carpet of corpses outside, of course. You see stone bones sort of sitting crouched in the great big rough-hewn entranceway, peering up and around, and he spots you, and you know, his eyes go wide. He's like, oh, waves you over.
Basically, the first thing out of my mouth is, the prince is fine, Fenna is fine, we're moving to the gates. Gather everybody up.
He, you know, grabs
it's
his head.
It's not open to discussion.
We need more dwarves. I can't carry all of them.
I've got a strong back. We carry as many as we can.
There aren't many people here other than what the one brewer who was burned.
He's there. You may remember a...
He may have picked up some casualties, too.
You may have remembered a scout that was tortured and possibly a few other bumps and bruises, but not a whole lot of people. And Bruna is still here, and she has a broken leg.
Won't have to carry Scully.
Too soon. I will do the best with the resources I have. If we need to make up a stretcher or something like that, or just even half a stretcher so we can lay someone on it and I can drag them along if Stone Bolton says his hand's full. Look over at Bruna. You missed some excitement.
She is sitting up in bed. She has like one. She has her feet over the end. She looks up at you and she's going, "What is happening? There were loud noises and screams and fire and what's happening?"
Because I'm oddly likable, I'll just shrug my shoulders. Dragon, gotta move now. Can you walk?
You know, I think she just says something to the tune of "Well, fuck me," and then hauls herself up to the best of her ability. And yeah.
Just one of those, holds out a finger, opens his mouth, and then realizes better not to say anything.
It looks like she could use help, technically, but, you know, whatever. Astomos is like collecting stuff, like he has some bags, some satchels. He, Flint, get calm, and I'll get the rest.
Will do. Yeah, why not? Flint's feeling charitable. He'll give Bruna a hug. He says, it'll be okay. We got this under control. We just need to take a step back.
Is this Flint's version of, like, I'm panicking, and this is how I panic. Everything is fine. We shall get out of this.
It may be something along those lines. He's trying to be supportive and get everybody motivated.
Yeah, I don't know. Singing.
No singing. Not that would get the attention of the dragon. Generally, if everybody's going to be copacetic, then got a plan. We'll sit there and we'll run with it. Hightail it to the gates. Easy peasy. No complications.
I don't think there's a challenge or some problem in getting everyone ready. It's rather the other, like, get everyone to the gate part. So let's see, Fandral, were you going back with Fena, or are you? Was that the idea?
The idea was to get our party the hell out of there.
Sure. That is happening on all kinds of different levels. Which direction was Fandral going in?
To where we had the most people, our main encampment.
All right. Okay. The hold that was set aside for you. Hall. I guess Fena and Gurman, the rest, they're going their way in that case, because you're, you know, rallying your dwarves. So it's you and most of the axe bearers. That's fairly close. Like, it's relatively close to the rest of the central Scoria. So there's no real, you know, challenge in getting there without getting an angry dragon on your ass. You get there and you find a whole heap of, like, dwarves who are not necessarily, you know, equipped to deal with high stress situations and crazy dragon gods coming back to life or coming to life. Who knows? It's just a mess of people holding on to each other and peering out any apertures to see if like what is going on outside. Some are rushing around trying to, like, assemble stuff to get them to bring with them to leave. Others are like sitting in corners, you know, hoping it'll all just blow over. It's a mess, a complete mess.
Gather up what you can. We're moving out. Start shouting at people and shouting at, like, the more military types who are used to dealing with this sort of chaos, and directing them to gather up different groups that aren't as organized.
I think this is a command test. I don't think it's terribly hard barging in with a bunch of dwarves who seem to at least have some competence. Like, there's an element of safety in seeing, like, essentially the police show up. Let's put the ob at 3. And that's for getting everyone organized and, like, get them to drop the shit they don't need and keep the shit they need, like food items and stuff, and then organize and follow you out. That's the ideal situation. That's a success. If you fail, you're going to have, like, a commotion. And again, it's going to draw attention that you don't want.
Working conspicuous?
Absolutely. Go for it.
The whole, the prince is still alive play, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Take an advantage die. Because you're there and you have your crazy armor on.
I may have already rolled and made it.
Oh, okay. Awesome. It's a mess. It's crazy. Everyone is just about ready to climb the walls and go mad. And then you show up and the axe bearers, you know, fan out, collect people. Some people who were about to, you know, bugger off on their own, they drop what they're doing and help each other, help the others. So in pretty short order, like a couple of minutes, you have all of them almost ranked up, almost like soldiers and ready to move on your order. And that's when you hear this great rumble from outside and above. Clearly, you know, a dragon's roar of some kind, but it's also this twisted, weird fire grinding rock noise. Yeah, clearly now the dragon is abroad. It's exited. Like, if you peer out a window, you see the shape filing out of the throne room and working its way down the great huge steps, and its head is swaying back and forth as if it's looking for something.
Fortunately, this is a dwarven underground city.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be able to find ways to maneuver through it and out of here that would be conducive to avoiding giant dragon gods.
Absolutely. What was your hold-wise test from before? It was super
that was
high, right?
Like 10.
Yeah. So name me the interconnected cellars that you are using to get the hell out of here.
Go. There's a tavern over here that goes into the cellars and the underground delivery way system. Don't ask me how I know this. I just do. We can make across most of the area where that dragon is there and pop up the other side, and we should be close to where the brewers are, and we should be able to meet up with them.
Okay, cool. I'm totally on board with that. you can totally like exit up out of the cellars where Oakkell's brewer camp is. It's this mini exodus of dwarves with backpacks and assorted gewgaws and axe bearers who are filing through the tunnels underneath, going through cellars, probably passing old molten looking moldy looking beer tuns and kegs and stuff, old furniture that was deemed too shitty to do anything with, or like cart off to Marl or be burned. After a while, you come up over the brewer section, where you meet up with Grineer, who's gesticulating and waving his axe about and trying to organize the brewers into like leaving most of their shit behind because there's no way to bring it.
And no sign of Oofkel.
Nope.
Where's Oofkel?
So Grineer turns around and goes, "Oh, Prince! Where did you? You know," and he sees all of the people filing up out of some cellar somewhere, like, and momentarily stunned, and then he says, "Oofkel, some crazy humans who were burned. They attacked us, and they were raving about some lady, and Oofkel went with them. The crazy bastard. I think you fulfilled your oath, getting him breweries. So
Oofkel went running off vaguely that way. Great." Looking at the collection of other dwarves, I don't know that going Oofkel hunting is what I can do right now.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the Oofkel.
Well, isn't it convenient that Oofkel assigned other additional brewers with more duties? I see, he's planned his own retirement.
He always has been and always will be your brewer.
And also, since he's not around, it's easier to get these guys to leave the crap that they can't take.
You may have a point. Oofkel would take the maximum amount of time allotted possible to make sure that every important bit would be there. Yes, yes, that's true. So you have this red-headed dwarf woman there. Her helmet is off, so the lower part of her face is all sooty and stuff. She's presenting herself and does some sort of dwarf curtsy and says, "My prince, we're just about ready to move. I don't know. We're going to have to leave the big ton. Oofkel is going to have our heads, but needs must."
Yes. Back up what you can and get moving.
All right. And she starts, you know, waving a ladle about. And you see in the background, Aethelbald is like helping Rory along. You know, Rory has lost his cane or crutch or whatever he was using. So they join up. You keep going, I guess. Let's check in with Slate. You were talking about some kind of belief rewriting.
I already did that.
Let me see what you wrote. Get the scouts out of this alive, whether or not I'm around afterward. Okay. Self sacrifice. Mind you, if you rewrite your belief right now, which is totally fair, right? You can do it at any time. But if you don't still have it at the end of the session, I can't award you Arta for trying for it. So it may be better to bump
stuff. Oh, I legitimately failed that one.
Right, you did. But you still tried to not fail it, right? So that is an award.
Didn't think you got points for trying.
Sure. What I would do is I would temporarily move Stonebone Secrets down to beliefs handed later, because you're not protecting anyone's secrets right now, and you keep the convinced Thawed to that we're friends belief for this session, and then we can strike it out, and then you can, you know, revise it.
I'll just move it up there, already striked out. Sure. Easier for me.
Yeah, clearly things did not go your way. You're back in chains, and I think we come back on like this rumble in the mountain, and everyone, all of the dwarves are like looking paranoid-like about, like, "Oh, what's this?" And Thawed stops his pacing about for a moment, and he confers with the axe bearer that kept you under, that surveyed you, and he nods and rushes off. So there are now five of them. What do you do?
Is Ty still ready to move?
Yeah, he's clearly waiting for your move, whatever it's going
to
be.
Okay, so I had two plans. We're going to try at least one of them. All right, I want to get in close to Ty, like, speaking so that nobody else can hear us. I want you to start a fight with me. During the commotion, of course, some of the guards are going to come over. Use our shackles and the chains between them to trip them up and steal the keys. Knock them out if you can. Do not kill them. Do I make myself clear?
He looks at you and then he nods.
You're actually going to have to hurt me. I am prepared for this, believe me. If I am not able to get up during this commotion, leave me. Get everybody out of here. I'm putting you in charge if that happens. You understand?
I think you're going to have to, like, persuade him to make this look real. Because he's not really, like, the violence-making type.
God, what would I use? Will?
Well, if it's persuasion, then it's will. I don't see this as coarse persuasion, right? You're not, you know, elbowing his ribs and going, ah, come on, you just do it. I'm thinking persuasion. Yay, beginner's luck.
Skills. I'm gonna just.
It's not like he doesn't have orders to protect you.
He does.
Yeah. I don't know that, but.
Fair enough. You may not know. Let's say it's all but three. So it's doubled to six. So.
What did you say the difficulty was?
Three.
Oh, God. Okay.
So doubled to six. You're conferring, and he starts shaking his head. And that draws Thod's attention. So he steps forward and you know, goes, shut up! Face away from each other.
I really hate to do this. I'm going to freaking die, but at least the scouts will get out of here. I'm going to fly at Thod. I am going to try to take him down. I'm not going to literally fly. I'm going to jump at him.
Remember that you were chained with the rest, right? So there's very limited...
But I can still throw myself at him.
Sure, that's about the extent.
My ideal is to trip him up with the chains.
Yeah, that's totally cool intent. It's brawling. It's going to be a higher obstacle because you're attached to the chains and they're attached to other people who are not jumping. But you can totally do it.
I don't even have brawling.
It's a surprise, right? So, you know, I think it's a versus test versus Thod's power. So I'm going to roll his power and that's going to be the obstacle. And just to give you an idea, his power is 5, so that's potentially 5. It's also potentially 0 if he rolls pretty poorly, so you can decide if you want to spend Arta or not. So you're in a precarious situation. You may want to spend a lot of Arta if you want this to work. So you're looking at an obstacle of 2 to 10.
Well, you only got 2 persona. You got deeds.
I don't even know what that does.
Really freaking important, yeah. So what Deed does, if you spend it, you can either double your dice before rolling, your power, which is what you're going to use, instead of being a 4, it's an 8. So you have 8 dice. And then on top of that, you can spend Persona, both of them if you feel like it, to make it 10 dice. And any 6s you can explode with Fate.
You know what, I'm going to do that because this is really freaking important.
All right.
I really don't want to die. Absolutely no luck.
Ooh. But record all of the Arta on power. And I'm going to roll his to see what kind of test it is. Because you got 2. So, hey, look at that slate.
You won.
I have a 1 success versus your 2. So right now, you are succeeding. Is Thought important enough to have Fate? I don't think so.
Now, mind you, I'm not aiming to kill him. Mostly so
immobilize him so someone can get to
the keys. Yeah, so Ty can get to the keys, yeah. Because he's right next to me.
So that's what happens. Like you jump and you entangle him in the chain or something?
Essentially I give him a really tight hug and don't let go with the chains.
Yes. You jump up, you grab him, he jostles around. I think you go down to your knees. Ty grabs the keys. I'm gonna roll Ty stealthy. Is he a stealthy dwarf or not? He is a super stealthy dwarf. He even has 2 6s. Why not? Let's blow them.
That's my scout.
Let's spend his one fate. That's another success. So four successes. I'm just going to quickly do unskilled observation. Oh, and they get nothing. I think you just see Ty, you know, helping you jostle, and then the axe bearers come over, and they like shove him off. They grab you, get you off Thod.
I'm struggling. I want to make a distraction.
Yeah. They give you a kick in the ribs. If you don't stop them, they give you a beating. Do you stop?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I want them to give me a beating. I want them to be completely focused on me.
Take a light wound.
Oh, yeah. On the bright side, they got some of their aggression out.
Totally.
Yeah, let them beat you till they're so tired they have to take a nap, and then you can sneak out.
Oh, God.
No, my idea is for them to be beating me and Ty to be unlocking and ushering everybody else away.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna go back a little, because I totally forgot that you have a bad head wound that's been treated. You may remember that your
relative
chopped you in the head with an axe.
Yes.
Not knowing who you were. You still have it. Technically, you should be down a die. I forgot that. I'm going to remember that next session. But,
oh, God, I'm sorry. I forgot too.
Yeah, so they start beating on you, kicking you, and your midi wound starts bleeding again. And it's real bad. You get, like, not quite concussed maybe, but on the verge.
I'm still fighting back. As long as I'm conscious, I will cause a distraction for the rest of the scouts to get away.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad enough that you are incapacitated. It's just like, whoa, suddenly everything is like a mess and blood's running down into your face, into your eyes. And I think...
I'm biting at their ankles.
Yeah, I think Ty jumps on top of you and shouting like, stop, 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 stop. You know, we get it, we get it. That's when they like, they stop and they kind of chuckle and spit and back away, and Thod pushes Ty away with his boot, and then he kneels next to you and grabs your chin, and like you're all like bloody and stuff, and some of your teeth are loose. He says, "No, I figured you to be smarter than all that. What's that all about? What did you accomplish? What did you hope to accomplish? You're not getting out of here. None of us are."
Well, I don't know about you, but your chances look pretty good.
Which, of course, is coming out like, "I don't know about you."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to speak like that.
No, that's fine. Just so we know, right? It's like you have been beat to all hell. Since the wound got worse, it needs to be treated again. You're down two dice until it's treated, your midi wound. He just sneers and, like, lets you go. And that's when you hear, like, running, a single runner in the tunnel that leads into here from the Breccia camp. Actually, no, from the other direction. A dwarf you know, a Breccia dwarf you know, Honding, the scout you met in the tunnels who led you to the Breccia camp.
Oh, the one that I got along with, yeah.
Yes. He comes running in, and he looks around and he's like, Thod, Sergeant, I can't, you know, clearly he doesn't know how to put anything. And Thod sort of scowls and he's like, speak up, you idiot. Honding's like, "There's a dragon, Scoria!" And he does, like, this back-and-forth motion, like, looking at everyone, and everyone's, like, not moving and not saying anything, and they're looking at him like, "What?" And then it's like he thinks they didn't hear him right, so he repeats it. It's like, "There's a dragon in Scoria!" And he's, like, he rushes up to the nearest one, like, grabs him, and is like, we gotta do something! The princess is over there! We have to move now!" Everyone is looking at Honding. And you can feel Ty grabbing your manacles, and you hear the click-click of the key in the lock.
Oh, good. Once I get free, I'm going to help him dizzily, because I'm probably dizzy at this point, free the rest of them while they're looking at Haunting.
I think Ty just puts an index finger over his lips, like, to make sure that you're not moving and that you're quiet, and then he moves over to the others.
Okay, he's like, the stealthy one.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do anything in particular. Like, also, he got like four successes, and the others got zero. Plus, now they are distracted. So, and the axe bearers are Thod starts to argue with Honding, and the other axe bearers start to look at each other, and then Honding and Thod, and like clearly, they're a couple of them start walking up to them and getting physical, like grabbing Honding and like, "What are you talking about?" Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, if that starts happening and I'm free, I'm going to step between them. Because that's my friend you're messing with there.
It's not threatening. It's more like the dwarven way of saying, oh, that's bullshit. What are you talking about? Are you crazy?
They're not.
You know, give us the real deal. Like, is there a threat? You know, but it's in that, since he's so wound up and like, it's a little more heated than usual.
Oh, okay.
But you don't get the impression that he's under any real danger. So you're all out of your chains and they're distracted. What do you do?
I'm going to motion to Ty to get them out of there. And I'm going to pick up the one that can't walk. Actually, no. The stronger one is going to pick up the one, though. I'm not that strong.
You are not very stealthy, are you?
No.
But you are inconspicuous, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're kind of in a crowd, so kind of, moving out of there kind of surreptitiously, you could potentially do that, yes. That's called an ob one. I think they are real distracted. Your inconspicuous is two.
But I'm down two die.
Oh, right. Right. You actually can't.
I can't.
And you don't have any persona or anything either. Oh, well, that's interesting. So I think you make sure the others get away, right? That's your belief.
It doesn't matter whether I'm there. Yeah.
And then you're last. You're beginning to like back away and then you kick the chain or something, right?
Or run into one of them.
No. They're all like facing a different direction. They've moved away.
Yeah, everybody else is out and safe, and I just can't.
Yes.
And I'm turning around to follow them, and I just drag the chain with my foot. It's like,
oh yes.
Shit.
And it's this noise that everyone turns and looks at, and then they notice all of the scouts are gone. Only you are there, and you're at the other cave entrance. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Run. That's where we close. That's where we close for you this session, I think. So let's go back to Flint. You have everyone up. All of the infirm are either roused or like helped, being carried. Bruna's limping along. Stomos has his shit. You're ready to leave. Then you notice, of course, that the dragon is out of the throne room and it's come down the steps, making its way back around, like it's like seeing this giant pet walking around a toy city. Like it's as big as a hall. You know, it's stepping up slightly on a hall and looking around and above and about it, and then it sort of moves down. And occasionally, like you hear some screams, and there's a just this gout of flame. And it's not just like that; it breathes fire. It's like every time it does, it's like it's roaring. It's like it's screaming hate and frustration above the roar of the fire and all that. Yeah, it's bad. Like you...
Wow, so it's a beastie powered by magma and hate. Great. You know, this is a job for stealth. So, and between stealth and hold-wise, I am going to, as quietly as possible, move all these people out of the line of sight and meet back at the gates. This isn't a rush. This is keep everyone quiet, not a word. It's dragons hunting, and they're looking for anyone.
Let me look at the stealthy obstacles real quick, because this is a bit of a... It's not just you. You have friends with you. Some of them are limping along. Some of them are weighed down with stuff. Here we go.
Oh, it's kind of like a shepherd.
Thanks, Luke. No examples for stealthy. In that case,
thank you, Luke. I needed that.
I'm thinking it's four. I don't think it's super hard because the dragon hasn't spotted you specifically. But I think also it's not super simple because you have some people with you and they're not in the best of shape. They can't react as quickly as you do. They can't duck as easily as you do.
But we are in a subterranean cavern, so there's not like great sight lines above everything because there's mountain above us.
How do you mean?
This isn't like a city where the dragon can rise up above things. I'm trying to get him an advantage die here.
Sure.
And the gallery's being supported by massive columns anyway. I mean, this thing's not going to be out in a big open space. There'll be columns holding the ceiling up.
The main thoroughfare, that's where this hall opens up. So you're going to have to go out in plain sight, essentially, for a portion, right? That is the danger, because that's where the dragon fits best. It can't really squeeze into the alleyways and side streets very well. So that's the danger. And they can't move as fast as you, like getting past, getting across, getting out. So that's the deal.
Well, it sounds like a job for Holdwise, because if I can remember those underground delivery tunnels, we can take advantage of that.
we can do it that way too, right? You have Holdwise. You can totally say like, oh, whoa, yeah, I remember the tunnels.
I scouted them out and told Fandral about them.
Yeah.
I can do it that way. But let's try that first, because if I can be totally out of sight, then this will be a cakewalk, even if it'll be slow.
I think if you want to get to where you want to go, that's three.
Okay. Can I gain any dice from Bruna, from Stealthy, from Shield of the Dwarves?
I think you're not directly interposing yourself between like a threat and sure. the dwarves in the same way as if you had done Stealthy out in the open. I guess you could be a real gamester and fork in tunnel-wise if you're going underneath.
I will gladly do that. Can Bruna lend a hand? Keep the crowd quiet?
She's I don't think she knows this place as well, and she's also hurt, so...
Yeah, they kind of balance out, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of all depend on you in this case. Like, well, if you want to make a declaration first with clan history, then we could do a linked test. Like, you could say, like, oh, stonehewers, you know, they had their stone passages that went here.
Sure.
You could make up some bullshit. And then if you succeed, you have an extra die.
We'll give that a shot.
That's going to be an ob 2. So clan history, ob 2.
Okay.
Oh.
Good. We burned all the low numbers, right?
So
the thing with the stonehewers is they worked with such large pieces of stone, they couldn't bring them through the tunnels. So it's like, no. So they showed off their stone. They didn't hide it.
Here's the failure condition, right? I think you still there's still a tunnel, right? But it may not be the kind of tunnel you think it is.
Or it's got a big stone plug on it, the idiots.
It could be. It could be that way, too. You don't know yet. So this takes a die off. So you have three dice for your hold wise instead of four with the fork.
Right.
Which makes it difficult. Could be good.
Well, we'll throw in some Arta on that and get it to four die, because that's the best I can do. Come on,
do
I can't.
Have? Oh, yes. You have your
one. Yes.
Yes.
Because luck
fix that.
Would have it. So burning that, because, hey, I do care about people more than me, it seems. We'll throw down four die, six, and try to get three successes.
Yes.
I mean, it can't be that hard.
If you fail, you're just going to end up somewhere else, somewhere other than you planned. It's not the end of the world. It may just be, oh, shit.
I'm hating this die roller.
Oh, that's another roll. Okay. I thought he hadn't rolled yet, but it's the same roll. Oh, okay.
GM Fate, where do we end up? Because obviously this tunnel didn't go to where I thought it did.
Tell me what kind of tunnel you thought the Flint figure that it was. Like,
I was hoping that it was part of the underground delivery system for like barrels and stuff like that. But I think we made a wrong turn and at Breccia or something, and we ended up in the sewer system.
Ah, I like that. I like that. So it is, in fact, like a service tunnel for the sewage stuff. So you think you're going the right way for a long time, and then you realize, wait, these aren't the right kind of tunnels, and everything's moist.
We're a lot deeper and darker than we were supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think you realize, too, that you're lost. You and the lot of them are like, oh, where are we? Right? It's dark. It's wet. It's all like natural rock now. Took a few turns. Oh, dear.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about the dragon now, do we?
No. Cool, cool, cool.
Hey, that's a good revolting development to leave on.
So I think the thing we leave on is like Bruna hobbling forth beside you, where you're standing there looking like Gandalf, like, I've never been here before. And she's like, so where are we?
Safe. We're safe.
Awesome.
I don't think I have convincing liar as a trait.
You could open falsehood, I guess. I don't know.
Just flash her one of your oddly likable grins.
That's the closing scene.
Sure.
Quickly go over your beliefs. Make sure Everything is tied up. Oh, I haven't checked back in with Ulfkel. The dragon was looking for you. You duck in the narrower, side streets and alleys between the big halls. I mean, you can hear the breathing. You can hear the dodonk when it moves, when it steps. You can hear the occasional roar of hate as it expels fire in places. And you can hear dogs barking and screaming. You can hear the odd person yelling. And yeah, the guy with the burnt arms, he's sort of patting you and trying to point you in a different direction.
I guess we end up at an intersection. I'm looking back and looking forth. Am I lucky and there's a sewer grate here?
Sure.
That way, huh? Pull out my hammer and I just crack that sucker open if it's made out of stone. If not, I'll pry it up and we go underground.
I think he pats you again and he points in a different direction, like very insistently.
We go that way, but we go that way down here.
He's almost like jumping in place. He's so wound up. Either leave him or convince him to come with you.
Put my hands on my hips and, you know, stand my full 3'4" and, you know,
you're
look up
than
at
a hobbit, surely.
Okay, 4'4", 4'4". Look him square in the eye and say, we're going down there and we're going to go that way. I point direction. He said, but I point down there and then I point direction. He's been pointing. You got that? I guess that's a command, I guess. But I get to roll a real command this time.
Yay! Oh, yeah. Okay. Different circumstances, totally.
Yeah.
And since it's a skill now, you can fork it.
Coarse persuasion?
What are you doing to be coarse?
We don't speak the same language, so I'm basically pointing and shouting and pointing and shouting and basically trying to use improvised sign language to get it across what I want to do. They understand you if you talk really loud. Not too loud. Draw attention to the dragon.
I'll give you a die. And the obstacle is going to be 3. No, 2. It's harmed. He's hurt.
3! He finally gets it. Okay, down we go.
He's clearly distraught and panicked, but he doesn't want to run off alone. So
I go, you first, and kick him the butt into the hole, and I fall in after him.
I can see you pushing him down the hole with your foot, like, come on.
Hopefully there's water down there.
When you get there, do you follow his lead, or what do you do?
I'm going to make use of my tunnel wise and try to figure out if we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, he kind of points in the same rough direction as above ground, and then, you're going to have to find it.
Yeah, I'm going to use my tunnel wise at this point, which I'm learning.
His directions are garbage. You can't communicate properly. The basic obstacle is 4, and then it's doubled to 8.
I'm a firm believer of not spending my last persona. So I'm going to roll 6, see what I get.
Go for it. It's a challenging test for perception. Ooh, yes, perception.
I got a 6. I spend that fate point. Ooh. I got 6.
Well, that was pretty good for a 6 versus 8. I think you end up going, for a while you end up going in circles. And the longer it takes, the more just crazy he gets. Panic starts building in him. And you think, this is a weird thing for you, but you think that he maybe doesn't like enclosed spaces. It's the weirdest thing ever, but...
What's he doing down here and under the ground then?
After a couple of minutes, 5 minutes or so, he just loses it and starts, he starts babbling like crazy. And then he gives you a big shove. And then he screams at you and starts pointing at you accusingly and essentially picks a fight with you.
Is he hitting me or is he
trying to... He's in your face. He's slapping you. He's screaming at you. He's pushing you. What do you do?
He's not giving
directions anymore.
I'm going to get his attention by grabbing him by his belt and lifting him by his crotch.
What is your intent?
Seduction?
No. I'm getting his attention, and the best way to get his attention is to, you know, get him by the short hairs.
Oh, you have his attention. You are the only thing he cares about right now, obviously.
I'm trying to calm him. Well, that doesn't calm him down, does it? I'm going to switch into old Broodmaster. I just grab his hand, yank him down, and I say very, very quietly, "We're here to save the lady. Calm yourself down."
Sounds like intimidation to me.
I'm learning that too. Yay!
I'm working on the translation. Ruff, 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 ruff. La lady. Ruff,
ruff. What's an obstacle here?
2.
2. So double the 4.
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna go with the 6s. I'll spend that fate.
Oh, what? Excellent. Okay, you do it. Okay, so when you grab him by the hand and or the arm and you pull him down, you hurt him, right? His arms are burned. So he winces and that stops him completely. And then you're pretty sure he didn't get the message like the literal message across, but he understands your body language, right? Stop. Get a hold of yourself.
Gently let go and say, we gotta get you seen to the doctor. Pat him on the face. Come on.
He backs up and he holds his hand like as if, you know, you burnt it almost. He's more level and calm now, but you can see that you just made an enemy. If you weren't in this situation and he didn't have the lady to think about, he would kill you, right? He would go for it.
I start walking in the direction I think should I go. I turn around, whistle. Come on.
You can see him grinding his teeth. That's what we should leave Oakdale for now. Like going ahead and then following him is this murderous hurt servant. Just looking like he's, I'm going to murder that fucker, you know, the first moment I get.
Maybe getting ready to do the dwarven periscope sewer thing.
Is there a final thing we need to do with Fandral before end, or should we pick that up next session?
I think he's the only one that's actually in a safe place right now.
Yeah.
Do we make it out of Scoria?
I think given your roles, it's like I have to make up stupid shit to make it a challenge, considering how well you've rolled. So, like, even if I race the obstacle, because now you have more people to, you know, move out of Scoria, you still have like 10 successes. There's really nothing I can do unless I want to be dumb. So if that's your intent, like I want to get them out, that's the only thing that matters right now. You get them out. You get them out through whatever tunnels you find. They're out. They're outside of Scoria, outside of the gates. You get them rounded up and, you know, you count beards essentially.
Worry about going back in for those who aren't here.
You're still missing, obviously, Flint. You're missing the brewer, Oakkill. You're missing a few other dwarves, but not a whole lot. Like, most of them are here. This so that's good. But we knew that. We knew that you're off to Breccia somewhere.
Yeah, you're safely outside of Scoria.
And no harm whatsoever.
Okay, so we know that Fenna is on her way back to her camp. We'll see how badly Slate is beaten before that happens. In that case, let's do the Arta Awards and like figure out stuff. Let's start with Ulfkel.
That's my favorite part of this game, the earning wheel.
The earning wheel. Ulfkel, I think you definitely tried to find a lady, so that's a fate point.
Yay.
I don't know if you made any specific tests, but you did intend to go for the brewers and the apprentices, although that was, you know, technically delegated to others.
I did, but
I don't think you had any real hand in it. Any instincts? Did anyone ever give Vulcan an order? No. Any weird traits? Boom, 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 boom. Impulsiveness, maybe. Like going with the humans, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of going for, I'd award a fate for that. Put this story in a new direction. We'll move over to Flint. Flint's beliefs are protect the dwarves from dragon's wrath. Did you write save Ulfkill?
I think we did that.
Oh, yes. The first scene. God.
Ulfkill needs so much saving.
That's a persona point for Flint. So fetch Stonebones and Bruna. You certainly attempted that. That's a fate.
Well, I delivered them safely from the dragon, just not where we wanted to end up at.
I'd say it's a fate rather than persona. You got to them and you got them away from the immediate danger. They're still in danger, though.
Fair enough.
Convince the company that, all right, that's a future belief. Sleeps with their axe, never say no to a lady, never leave a task undone. I think you're on mission. I don't think it got you into trouble, precisely. I'll work on that.
Well, when I could have retreated, I stayed and helped Ulfkell.
Yes, like you could have left, but then you were like, oh, Ulfkell, I'll give you one for that.
Yay.
But also put other characters in danger. That's good.
We're good at that.
I think that's it for you this time.
Sure.
So beliefs for the prince. You've got the dwarves to safety. Persona point. Boom. Finding a way to get rid of the dragon, that's the future. You support to help Flint recover Goddam Crest, that's still pending. Tricky stuff. Never trust other races. Expect orders to be followed. Nope. Any traits? Not really. I think that's it for you then, actually. Let's go to Slate. Slate has. You did not manage to convince Thought, but you certainly tried. So you get a fate for that. You did, in fact, get the scouts out of the situation alive. And we'll see what happens to you afterwards. So that is a persona point. So let's do the other awards. Any embodiment awards, do you think? Any situations that you thought were really good in the role-playing department? And we're also kind of getting back into the swing of things. So maybe something for a later occasion. Look at the mold breaker. You have this belief, but you have this other thing you want to do too. But doing that kind of breaks the other belief.
Oh.
And you're sort of torn between them.
If you, well, in that case, maybe Ulfkel, because, you know, for love of brewery, he went with the humans.
I agree. Totally. Mm. That is a persona for Ulfkel. I think that's the first time anyone's earned the mold breaker. Very cool. Only took us 45 sessions. The voting awards. Workhorse.
Flint, I think, was the best helping people.
Flint. Yeah.
Yeah, Flint.
Okay, that is a persona for Flint. And MVP, I'm pretty sure I know who's going to get this one, but...
Well, I'm Mr. Who saves the dwarves and gets the job done, so... definitely Foundrel, as far as the story arc of dwarfdom and kingdom and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he is Foundrel. King under the hill.
Well, mountain, but, you know.
Not yet, anyway.
Right now, cool. He's king under the dragon.
So another persona for Foundrel. I don't think anyone is in Deeds stuff quite yet. I'd be really like, getting all the dwarves to safety is technically your belief, but also it's going to benefit a lot more people than you, Foundrel. So I'm torn.
Oh, go ahead.
We're probably going to need it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and give him that deed.
I mean,
it's come with this cost or sacrifice. I don't think that's quite happened yet.
He lost Roar.
Well, that wasn't his fault.
And he might be losing. He might be losing Ulfkel, but he may be doing that on purpose. So
I think you're right.
And he also might be losing Slate.
Yeah. Let me put it this way: depending on what happens next session, we're definitely in the possibility of deeds. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think this was the deeds session, but nudging up against it, real close. Anything at all that you didn't like? Something someone else did, or I did, or like flubbing a mechanic, or poor scene framing, whatever.
Nah.
Nope. I'd prefer I was in it more, but that's my fault, so.
we'll give you the spotlight next time and then have you recover an ER. And
provided I actually survive the encounter, yes.
Any particularly cool or standout moments that you liked?
The dragon coming out of the rubble.
Honestly, I like that whole little bit with Slate and Ty. Because, you know, if you're planning it cinematically, you couldn't have called it better. Because in the movie, doesn't the good guy always get the shit beat out of him and still manages to win?
Actually, one thing they caught my mind's eye was the bit with the dragon coming through the doors. I'm going, that's just like the Id Monster in Forbidden Planet going through the steel plating.
I don't see things cinematically like you do. I see it like if I was playing a video game. When Slate moved the chain with his foot, I'm like, oh, this is the boss battle. This is the start of the boss battle. I love this.
Well,
same
you
thing
know,
as
you...
that dragon crawling out. It's like, yep, boss battle. Sorry, Ulfkel. You are massively unprepared for this.
Why do you think I went underground into the sewers? Because there's no way in hell I was going to survive on the surface.
I thought it was really cool that Ty was actually useful. Like that he got so many successes and sixes and everything. Like, yeah, cool.
Maybe we should change his name.
Why? Into what?
He's not a timid scout anymore.
Oh, right. I think it could become a badge of like, you know, Robin Hood, oh, you know, Little John, right?
Ty the Timid.
Well, thank you for today then.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
Bye-bye, guys. Yep. And we're done.
If you want to contact us, we have a Facebook page. We started a Google Plus community. There's our forums, sundayskypers.freeforums.org. There's email, sundayskypers@zoho.com. That's sundayskypers, all one word, at zoho.com. And of course, there's always telepathy.